Welcome to A Beggar Who Found Bread. I'm your host, a simple and desperate beggar named Brad. I found the bread of life, Yeshua the Messiah, and I'd like others to know where to find this bread, that they would walk in and remain in the truth. This episode, What You Left Behind. Props to Fit for a King, a faith-based metalcore band out of Tyler, Texas. And I just recently started bumping some of their stuff, and I'm definitely digging it. Their latest album, The Hell We Create, covers some of the tribulation band members experienced through particularly the pandemic, where vocalist Ryan Kirby almost lost his wife to a stroke while she was homeschooling their children. It also reflects on the abuse and neglect children endure at the hands of their parents. There's some heavy topics indeed, but they always seem to find and reveal hope. I don't have much more on this band at the moment. If you like heavier music, though, give them a listen. This podcast is not about the music. It's about the message, what you left behind. Recently, I was asked a question from a friend and occasional listener of this podcast, and the more I pondered and studied it, I thought, this is actually a good topic to discuss and dig into on A Beggar Who Found Bread. And, you know, since I'm the host, well, here we are. The question posed to me is, what are the commandments of men that Yeshua rebuked? So, let's get to the passage he referenced, and actually he sent a few passages, some different verses, and while I typically resist when people pull multiple verses from differing sources and try to endorse a preconceived doctrine or create their own doctrine, that's not what this individual did here. We're going to begin with Matthew 15. He specifically referred to verse 9, but we're going to start at verse 1 for some context. Then some Pharisees and Torah scholars came to Yeshua from Jerusalem. They said, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not do the ritual hand washing when they eat bread." And answering, he said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother.' And he who speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever tells his father or mother, whatever you might have gained from me is a gift to God. He need not honor his father.' On account of your tradition, you made void the word of God. Hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" What we see here is these religious leaders attempting to rebuke Yeshua for the behavior of his disciples. They were not participating in the traditional ritual hand-washing ceremony practiced for centuries. This practice is itself a commandment of men, not of Hashem. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not a commandment of Hashem. So what they're describing in this hand-washing ceremony, well, it's not found in the Torah anywhere. And Yeshua tells them that because they emphasize and enforce these man-made commandments, burdening others with them, that they are supposed to be representatives of the faith, they actually make the true word of Adonai meaningless to people, because their actions regarding what he said about honoring your father and mother, they would, what would happen with some folks, they would say that, oh, well, what I would use to help my father and mother as they get older, what I would use to support them, well, I've set that aside as a gift to God. And so then they don't honor their father and mother. And that's not what Adonai wanted. And so, because they were focusing on and really amplifying these commands of men and diminishing and ignoring and denying the word and commands of Adonai Elohim, the Lord our God, Yeshua told them that they make the true word of Adonai of no effect. It was meaningless to the people that they were supposed to be leading in the faith. So these man-made laws and commands were addressed and discredited by Yeshua and in the writings of the apostles as well. And there is more to this topic, which I believe you will see as we continue. This is not a minor offense that which is being committed here by these leaders, these religious leaders. And so my thought on doing above and beyond what Hashem commands us in the Torah, my thoughts on that are, if that is your conviction, go ahead and do it. But you cannot hold someone else accountable for your personal conviction, which has not scriptural backing. We can't do that. You can go further. You can set additional boundaries for yourself if you believe it is necessary, but you can't make it an insistence for others. For example, a modern situation that we deal with. There are some people who struggle with pornography. There are computer filters which help prevent and avoid it. It sets up boundaries so that even if you are thinking in that direction, your computer should stop you from going there. Some people absolutely need those filters due to the difficulty and the personal struggle they have in that area. Not everyone needs it, though. So to insist everyone who calls themselves a Christian must have a filter of this sort on their computer, that's a man-made commandment. We cannot require that of people. Can encourage people, tell them the benefits of it, but it's not a commandment of Hashem. But for reals though, if you need a filter like that, please use it. And it would also be unsafe for someone who maybe doesn't struggle in that area to tell someone their faith is weak if they use that filter. That would be very disrespectful, and I don't think that would honor Hashem. So let's look at the other passage I was sent, one of the other passages, which is from the Apostle Paul's letter to Titus, one of his disciples. Verse 14 was the focal point of the question asked, but I'd like to get context here because Paul, he's explaining to Titus the requirements for elders in a congregation. So we'll start at verse 9. He, an elder, must hold firmly to the trustworthy message in keeping with the teaching so he can both encourage by instruction that is sound and convict those who speak against it. So he can both encourage by instruction that is sound and convict those who speak against it. For there are many who are rebellious, vain talkers and deceivers, especially those from the circumcision. They must be silenced, those who upset entire households by teaching what they should not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, one of their own prophets, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." This testimony is true. For this reason, rebuke them sharply, so they might be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Judaic myths and commands of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They claim to know God, but their deeds deny him. They are despicable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. All right, so Paul warns about those who perpetrate Judaic myths and commandments of men especially from those of the circumcision. What does he mean by that? Well, some people take this to mean Paul is defaming all Jews and Judaism. He is not. He is a Jew. As I have said many times, which scripture and history bear out, Paul was a Torah-observant Jew, a Pharisee. He did not abandon his faith. He completed his faith by surrendering to the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth. Yeshua is the crowning jewel of Judaism. He does not abolish it. So, Paul, a Torah-observant Jew, a Pharisee, as he refers to himself, a Jew of Jews. He was not defaming Jews and Judaism. So what Paul means by the circumcision in this passage, he is referring to those of the circumcision party, which is mentioned in the book of Acts, and he addresses also in his letter to the Galatians. These were people who were insisting Gentiles must be circumcised to be followers of Yeshua. People were being forced to be circumcised. The people of the circumcision party demanded that people must take on Jewish identity to be saved by God. Paul opposed this, and his stance was validated by James or Jacob, the righteous, who is the brother of the Master, Yeshua the Messiah. Also, he sought the approval of the Apostle Peter and other leaders of the apostles. That is the commandments of men and Judaic myths Paul was talking about in this letter, a very specific application, not wanting those people to infiltrate the congregations that he was planting and involved in supporting. As I stated, this does go even deeper. So those are some of the specifics, what Yeshua was speaking of and what the Apostle Paul was speaking of in its context. Now, in the passage we read from Matthew, Yeshua is quoting from Isaiah 29 when he says to these religious leaders, "Hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' The Holy One, blessed be He, knew this would be a problem from very early on, from the beginning, from even before the beginning, He knew. So let's read some from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 29, and we'll start at verse 11, which goes back and adds a little context to what Yeshua was quoting. So Isaiah 29, starting at verse 11. "So this entire vision is for you, like the words of a sealed scroll, which they give to one who knows books, saying, 'Read this, please.' But he says, 'I can't, because it's sealed.' Then the scroll is given to one who does not know books, saying, 'Read this, please.' But he says, 'I don't know books.' So Adonai says, 'Since these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, yet their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a mitzvah taught by men.'" And then it goes on from there. All right, so what are we seeing? What we are seeing here is the word of Adonai being given to people, and for one reason or another, they refuse to read it. Or they insist that they cannot read it. They're not capable. Since the word is then left concealed, men will make up their own commandments. They draw near to Adonai with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. They left something behind. They don't even know what he desires of them, and they make up their own laws and commands. And furthering my study of this topic, actually, this week's Torah portion included Deuteronomy chapter 4, which is where we see the foundational importance of adhering to the true word of Hashem. Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 and 2, Moses is speaking to the people. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to do, so that you may live and go in and possess the land that Adonai, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You must not add to the word that I am commanding you or take away from it, in order to keep the mitzvot of Adonai, your God, that I am commanding you. Do not add or take away from the word commanded to you, so you will keep the mitzvot of Adonai. Now, if someone refuses to read the Torah for whatever reason, whatever their justification, they will either add to or remove from what is commanded because they don't know what's contained in it. And there are teachers today doing exactly this thing. They declare the Torah obsolete. Even the whole First Testament, the Tanakh, the Torah, the prophets and writings. Modern teachers are making the word of Adonai of no effect because they break the Torah, they break the laws and commandments, and they teach others to do so. And so they make the true commands of God, the true word of God, meaningless to their students because they teach the commands of men. Whatever suits them best keeps people comfortable, keeps people in pews and money in the coffers, and feeds their dishonest greed. I believe this to be a part of what the prophet Amos said regarding the famine of hearing the word of Adonai. All that needs to happen for people to follow the commands of men is for people to avoid reading and speaking the commands of the Most High. People will come up with their own understanding with no biblical basis and throw around phrases like, well, it doesn't feel wrong. I'm sure God wouldn't mind. I mean, God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? And they have zero scriptural basis for the lukewarm vomit that they carry around and dump on others, making them twice the disciple of hell that they are. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 3. Now we know that we have come to know him by this, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him, the love of God is truly made perfect. We know that we are in him by this. Whoever claims to abide in him must walk just as he walked. That is powerful and convicting, and it's from the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament writings. How do we ignore this and claim? Because remember, when John wrote this, what were the commands? What were the commands that were there that were written? It was the Tanakh. It was the first covenant. It was the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. Those are the commandments he's talking about. Yeshua did not come creating his own new ones. I heard a great illustration this week, and I'm going to pose it as a question to you. I thought it was very thought-provoking and poignant. So I'll ask you this way: which came first, deliverance or the law? What happened first, redemption or the commandments? It was deliverance and redemption which happened first, then came the law, folks. Israel was delivered, redeemed from slavery in Egypt. They were saved, not because of what they did, but because of the grace of Hashem. Then came the law. The people were set free and told by Adonai, "This is how my people live. I love you, and if you live this way, it will go well for you." The same is true now. Deliverance, redemption from slavery to sin happens first, not because of anything we've done. It is the gift of God. Through Yeshua, he then says, "This is how you are to live." He reinforces what is written in the scriptures. If you live this way, the way Yeshua is living, it will go well with you. How did Yeshua live? He lived in faith, he lived in love, and he lived in obedience all across the board to perfection. In faith, in love, and obedience to the commands of the Father, the written Torah. And he brought and revealed to us the greater depth of those commands and laws. Redemption, deliverance comes first, hallelujah, and then it is revealed to us, this is how you should live. Do not leave anything behind. Do not leave behind the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. We can't leave it behind. If we do, we will live by the commands of men. We don't want to do that. I hope that this has blessed and challenged you. Please study to show yourself approved of God. There is a lost and dying world starving for truth. They need the bread of life, Yeshua the Messiah. Let's go out and give them heaven. And for those who are regular listeners, this concludes season 5 of this podcast, A Beggar Who Found Bread. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for continuing to listen, to subscribe, and to rate and review. I thank you so much. And especially those of you who share these podcast episodes, it's just an incredible blessing, because when you do that, it just reinforces to me that you're getting something out of it, and it's you find it so important that you want others to hear it. So thank you for that. And again, for all of your feedback that I get throughout the times and the episodes, I thank you. I'm grateful for it. And so we will see how season 6 will kick off, Lord willing. I believe we're going to start off with a study through another of the epistles, but all submitted to Hashem, and we'll see where we go from there. I guess that's all I can say to that. So until next time, and until next season, may the favor, the Master, Yeshua the Messiah, found in the eyes of Hashem, be upon you and all your household, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, reign in your hearts and minds in Messiah Yeshua. Grace and peace. Chen Shalom.